direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I get consumed in what we're saying and forget to tell you, you can join the discussion today by dialing 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about how many branches of government do we have? Is it three branches, two, one? Or do we have four branches of government? We have a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. But how many branches of government do we have? It's very, very vital for us to understand, and it's vital in particular for the Christians, conservatives, and the patriots to understand what system of government we have and how it's operative and who's in charge and who carries out the weight of the responsibility for our nation today. As the major responsibility on the shoulders of the legislative branch, I think we need to have it so that the legislators come into D.C. to make laws and to debate and dialogue and discuss about 30 days out of each year, go back home and carry out their businesses and stay in their homes and the families and operate under the laws that they pass during the 30 days that they're there. I believe we have surpassed the understanding of our founding fathers in relationship to the responsibility of government. In fact, if you have not heard me say before, let me, at the risk of redundancy, remind us that government is the idea of God. God gave us civil government. God designed civil government. God instituted civil government. In fact, you find the first mention of civil government in the ninth chapter of Genesis, the beginnings book. The ninth chapter of Genesis, God gave us part of civil government for the right of capital punishment. We find then in the New Testament, the book of Romans, and we'll get to that later in the broadcast today, God gave us civil government to prosecute evil and to protect the good. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, government, civil government, we call them political leaders today, are to operate under the auspices, the guidance, the direction, and the submission to God. God is the ultimate giver of the law. God is the ultimate one that has formed civil government. And everyone that we elect, whether they realize it or not, and we've devolved to the point and place in America with morals and ethics and values depleted as they have, we have a government today, local, state, national, and everyone in each branch, whether it be state or federal government, where there's a mindset that once I'm elected, I'm autonomous. I'm not answerable to anybody. We're finding that today in Ilhan Omar and other of the socialist, Marxist, communists that have found themselves into our governmental system. There's a mindset somehow, some way, that as the governmental officials, that we're not responsible to God. And may I say to you, that's the underlying question, the underlying premise of this entire broadcast today, as we talk about, well, how many branches of government do we have? One, two, three, or four? And I'd love to hear from you your thoughts on what branches of government we have, what their authorities, what authorities have been given to them, because there's a mindset being promulgated today that we have the fourth branch of government. Ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. As Jesus speaks to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus said this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Now, may I say to you, when we get away from the truth book, when we get away from, deviate from, the fundamental foundational directions in the Word of God, we've gotten into left field. This is the reason I believe we're finding so much calamity, confusion, and chaos in our nation today. We have deviated from God's plan for civil government. And many of our problems we can trace right back to the immoral, ungodly, unholy leadership that we have in several places in our government today. May I say to you, truth is needful and necessary to get back to where God would have us to be. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." But ladies and gentlemen, truth matters. It doesn't make any difference what, how would you say, whether it's the left coast or the right coast. It doesn't matter what coast you're on. Truth still matters on either coast, left coast or the right coast, as we call it in America, or every portion in between. Truth matters. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a powerful statement when under a headline he says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And in part, DeMint said this, "What we believe does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet this is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our churches." And yet we have, in what's called the millennial age group, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, according to the latest survey, when I say the latest, it's about a year old now, says that 55% of the millennials do not believe in absolute truth. In fact, their position is, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." There's not but one version of truth. Half truth is a whole lie. And yet we have a lot of that taking place today in our nation. And I think offhand with what is happening in America today. President Trump and all of those in his orbit are trying to go back now and trying to get the correct thinking in Americans' thought process. They're talking about that which is available and that which is affordable. The word affordability is being bounded about. What does it mean, affordable? There are a lot of folks today in America that believe that everything should be free, therefore it's affordable. There are those in America today that believe that somehow, some way, the Obamacare insurance mechanism should be extended because the giveaway subsidies expire on the 31st of this month. And as a result of that, the Democrats are saying that insurance will no longer be affordable. Well, the only reason it was affordable to begin with, as that term is being bounded about today, is because of the subsidies that was added 10 years ago, added to what's called Obamacare, the Affordable Act that was set up, the insurance, Affordable Insurance Act that was set up. It's called Obamacare. And ladies and gentlemen, they're all hyped up now, and they're lying and deceiving the public that no longer will insurance be affordable. The affordability is now the linchpin word for the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party going into the midterm elections and then the presidential election in 2028. And I digress to use that as an illustration of not having a standard of truth. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats forced through the Obamacare plan. They forced it through with about $1.5 trillion that was to be spent on giveaway insurance premiums so that people could say, "I have insurance, etc." And yet we're paying for it, being subsidized by the taxpayers. And right now it's being eaten up by the illegal invaders coming into America by the millions. And yet the half-truth, which is a whole lie, is being told that it's Republicans wanting to take away your insurance. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement in this. He said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. We need to seek the truth, listen to it, love it, learn it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner as well as the professional brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's some that have asked, how do you find that? Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Flying atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flying 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion today. We're going to talk about civil government. We're going to talk about the responsibility of Christians, patriots, conservatives to be involved in the governmental system. Now, I understand, ladies and gentlemen, it appears to be a lot of confusion on the part of Christians and conservatives as to the part that we ought to play in the role of civil government. There's some, ladies and gentlemen, that hold the position that Christians should not even speak about the government and what the government's doing. Some have the philosophy, ladies and gentlemen, that as Christians, we should talk about God, we should talk about the Bible, we should talk about moral, ethical things, we should talk about sin and the reason that we ought not to sin. It's all of those things are well and good and absolutely, unequivocally true. But ladies and gentlemen, that does not negate the fact that we're citizens in two countries. We're citizens in America and we're citizens in heaven. And as citizens, we ought to do that which is honorable to God and honorable for our citizenship and to our citizenship. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very clear that there's some that take the position that Christians and churches and conservatives should just walk very carefully, not be visible, not be vocal. We're just to submit to what the government says. Have you heard that? Have you heard the statement? I get a little tight, ladies and gentlemen, with some of the statements that Christians make. Some of the Christians that are immature, that are unlearned, that are simply anemic in the realm of theological doctrinal facts, biblically speaking. And I've heard too many, even among preachers. If you're listening today, perhaps I'm stepping on your toes. That's fine. But there are those that say, you know, as a pastor, as a preacher, I'm just going to preach the truth in love. And I'm just going to preach what God's Word says about being saved. I'm just going to preach what the Bible says about spiritual and Christians and their duty to love God and to submit to Him. There are those today, ladies and gentlemen, say that Christians ought to submit. Listen to me very carefully. Don't want to have any mixed words, misunderstanding. There are Christians that say we ought to submit to government. And that is partially true. But ladies and gentlemen, a half-truth is a whole lie. That being partially true, let's go back and put the underpinning on what I need to say. Because the scripture is very, very clear. In Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now listen, that sets the precedent in Romans 13, verse 1. Unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained are of God. Whatsoever therefore submitteth, resisteth the power, talking about resisting the power of God, resisteth the ordinance of God, and that those that resist shall receive themselves damnation. Because rulers are not a terror to those good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he, that's speaking about government, is the minister, that is a diakonos, slave servant of God, to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God as a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go further, the point being if I can summarize those four or five verses. God is the one that created, gave us civil government. And in civil government, God's design purpose is for those that we call today politicians, those that are put in position by we the people in the American Constitutional Republic form of government, the representative government, where to elect people, put them in a position of governing our nation, but they should recognize and be submissive to what God's word says. Government is designed of God to prosecute evil and to protect good. We've seen it reverse so often in America today. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen. We shouldn't just sit back as Christians, as citizens of the nation, as we witness the cultural Marxism, which is anti-God, anti-church, anti-family, as it destroys our Christian constitutional republic. Now, listen. I don't mean that everything that we have in government today is Christian. But it was for our government was set up and formulated under the auspices, the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God through the hands, the hearts, and the minds of those that formulated our founding documents, ladies and gentlemen. I find it is necessary for us to understand God created civil government for us to recognize and submit to God through his leaders that are called civil government leaders. But we've, how would you say, deviated far from the truth of what God has done and the purpose God has set up in our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, what happens when cultural Marxism creeps into our civil government that ignores God, ignores God's word? This is the reason we have laws today so that it's okay to commit murder by way of abortion. This is the reason we have laws today that says that the sodomite marriages are ordained of government, although they are not ordained of God. This is the reason we have laws today that say that it's okay to commit murder by way of abortion. This is the reason we have laws today that go far, far, far from what God's word says. It is because cultural Marxism has set in. And Marxism is designed, the three major points of Marxism, is designed to dethrone God, to destroy the nuclear family, and to divide our nation ethnically. And we find that on the fast track today in the United States of America. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of government. But listen, it goes even far broader than what we're talking about just at the outset. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. The question that I'm asking to and I'm boiling down to with the preliminary thoughts that will lead into the major question, how many branches of government do we have? Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? How many branches of government do we have? What are the operatives of each of those branches of government? And the bottom line is, as we'll get to in a moment, President Trump is basically in the news so often, but he should be, with about 450, 500 plus suits against him and against those in his orbit, the cabinet, and those that he's leading to try to, as he uses the term, make America great again. One of the cases that's before the Supreme Court, an oral argument's just taking place a few days, and that is, does President Trump have the authority to fire federal workers? Does President Trump have the authority to fire federal workers? That's the case that's before the Supreme Court. And one of the most brilliant Supreme Court justices, one of the most brilliant-minded, if you would say that, is one that's called Justice Ketanji Jackson. I just call her Justice Jackson. Argues that America should be run by the bureaucrats. Hear me. In the oral arguments before the Supreme Court, Supreme Court Justice Jackson argues that President Trump does not have the authority to fire a federal worker, that the bureaucrats, the embedded bureaucrats, my words, not hers, have the, how would you say, the protection of government that they can't be fired. Now, under her auspices and thought process, she says that there's the fourth branch of government. Let me just read some of it. As it has interestingly become the case, Justice Jackson stole the show with some of her comments on the view of the underlying constitutional issues. She suggested that experts, hear me, she called them experts, in the executive branch generally should not be subject to termination by the president. And she goes on with that. We'll talk about it further in a moment. Her position is that those experts, those in the FCC, those that are in the different divisions that have been organized and set up under the leadership of Congress, that somehow, some way, they are absolutely protected from being fired. Those that are operative in the different branches, Transportation Authority, economic regulators, the Federal Reserve, the multi-agency boards, the vast sectors of policymaking, that they are basically autonomous from the president, and the president can't touch them. Now, perhaps you've heard it said down through the years that federal workers can't be fired. Well, that goes back to many, many, many years ago under one that was less than conservative, where there was a Supreme Court ruling that basically made people think that somehow, some way, that the federal workers could not be fired. We'll talk about that further in a moment. But, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, how many branches of government do we have? Do we have a legislative branch, executive branch, judicial branch, plus the bureaucratic branch? Is that what we're saying? That's what Ketanji Jackson says that we have. And I'll read more of that from two or three major articles on it in just a moment. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. How many branches of government? What are the operatives of those branches of government? And what should be done? Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that somehow, some way, there's a mindset that we have more than three branches of government. I'm looking at a article that says, the four branches, I like the headline, the four branches of government. This article reads, one of my favorite questions to ask its interns is, what are the four branches of government? Talking about those that are interning coming into federal government work. Is there an administrative branch of government? But to ask the question is to reveal the punchline. The Constitution has no Article 4 for an independent or administrative branch of government. The real Article 4 of the seven articles in Constitution elucidates just how America sovereignty is shared between the state and the federal governments. The authority of the independent branch of government are the last of the regulatory agencies such as the Federal Communications Commission, Federal Trade Commission, Securities and Exchange Commission, etc., etc., etc. However, previous administrations have allowed, listen to this, previous administrations, that's prior to Trump's administration, have allowed so-called independent regulatory agencies to operate with minimal presidential supervision. This regulatory agency currently exercises substantial executive authority without sufficient accountability to the president and through him and to the American public. What the article is saying, ladies and gentlemen, is I believe for about 90 years now, if my memory is correct on some of the research that I've done on that, for about 90 years now, the mindset's been that these regulatory agencies, once Congress approves them and puts them in place and they're launching out, and I've seen it too many times where an agency, for example, Federal Trade Commission or the Securities Exchange Commission or the other commissions or the other agencies, they will grow larger and larger and larger. And Congress has said nothing. They will put on another individual. That individual has to have an office and a desk and an assistant. That assistant has to have a group of assistants. And it just enlarges exponentially. And there seems to be no oversight from Congress. But who has the right, the responsibility to rein it in, to control it, and to fire those that are not doing the job, the task they're supposed to do? Recently, there was one that was fired, and she says that she can't be fired. That's bringing about the case that's in the Supreme Court hearings now, and I don't know when the court will rule on it. Maybe in the next few months, maybe next June, when they go back into session. I don't know how quickly they'll rule, but ladies and gentlemen, that's the question. And Ketanji Jackson, Supreme Court Justice, thinks that somehow, some way, that should be a fourth branch of government, that one that is called the administrative branch of government. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, what do you think? Does President Trump have the authority? Should he have the authority constitutionally under Article 2 of the Constitution? Read it. Should he have the authority to hire or fire at will? Or is it something he has got to say, I can't do it. These agencies rule over me. These agencies, once they're launched into place, they're in perpetuity. They can't be fired. These agencies that's part of the federal government simply are autonomous, and they're not answerable to anybody. Because if it's left up to the House and the Senate to supervise, they're certainly not going to do it. Their mindset is they're out there. They're minding their own business. We'll leave them alone. That's the problem in federal government today. That's the problem in local government. That's the problem in state government, where the mindset is it can grow exponentially. And yet, you may be asking at this very moment, what does that have to do with Christians, conservatives, and churches? Ladies and gentlemen, it has all to do with it. It has all to do with it. Listen very carefully. Joseph influenced Egypt for good. Daniel advised the kings to shape nations and national policies. Queen Esther, ladies and gentlemen, influenced to protect God's people. John the Baptist rebuked immoral rulers. Paul stood for his rights as a citizen of Rome and defended the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I could go on and on and on with biblical characters and what they have done in standing against government in relationship to the protection of our liberties, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America today. I believe that we need to recognize what is taking place, need to recognize how we fit into the big picture, big puzzle, if you please, as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, and what is taking place, undermining, degrading, and destroying the fundamental foundations of America. And the scripture is very, very clear in Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, it remains the responsibility of Christians, conservatives, and patriots today to stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to stand for the liberties that God has given us, codified in our Bill of Rights, to stand for our nation and our constitutional republic, and to be salt and light that God has charged us with the responsibility of being. There are a lot of folks today, and perhaps you're one of them that's listening, and you think somehow, some way, the administrative branches of government and or the press should have say-so in our governmental authority. I'm looking at another research article that says, fourth branch of government. In politics in the United States, fourth branch of government is an unofficial term referring to groups or institutions perceived variously as influencing or acting in the stead of the three branches of the U.S. federal government defined in the Constitution of the United States, the legislative, executive, and judiciary. Views as to whether the influence to do or undo or the actions for good or ill also vary. It's a pretty massive article, ladies and gentlemen, but it seems as though somehow, some way, there's a mindset that there is a fourth branch of government. I want to hear from you. Do you believe, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, some way, the administrative branches out there, our administrative, if you please, commissions or agencies should have say-so, and President Trump can't fire them? I beg to differ, and I want to hear from you. I want to know what your thoughts are. But the bottom line of this broadcast today is the question, what should we as Christians do? How should we respond? Should we be salt and light? Should we speak up, stand up, be vocal, and thus be victorious in our challenge? Should Christians have any say-so in the governmental authorities and the governmental policies? We have devolved to the place in America, even on a local, state, and national level, that we have shrunk back, Christians, we have shrunk back from our responsibility biblically to be salt and light in a decaying, dark, and dying society. I believe that the only way there will be light and illumining our society is through the Christian voice, the Christian life, as we are supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Salt preserves, light illumines. And ladies and gentlemen, the question is in this broadcast today, are we salt and light? Are we doing what God's called us to do? Are we simply agreeing with individuals like Jackson, Supreme Court Justice Jackson, that says there's a fourth branch of government, and the president and his executive branch discounting Article 2 of the Constitution, has no authority to fire somebody or to make a decision on that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this thought right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.